Shalom, most precious saints of God. I'm Reverend Sheila Crawford of Shofar Ministries. And as tradition has it, Happy New Year to you all, and welcome to the news portion of our program. Let me begin by honestly saying that we do pray for our avid listeners, and I truly want to thank those who have made it possible for us to stay on the air, and we continue to covet your prayers as well, that we can remain, because the next year will be a bumpy one, and we'll be discussing that a lot more in the coming months as we anxiously await that trumpet sound that you cannot deny is certainly closer today than yesterday. So Israel continues to be very patient with the Palestinians in spite of the increase in terror attacks over the last few months. Why, you might ask? From what I am seeing and from what I read, Bibi Netanyahu says he is eager to make peace. Now, don't misunderstand me. Peace is good, but we all know what the word says. So my conclusion is his eagerness makes me wonder what is going on behind the scenes and as well who is pulling Bibi's strings. As I told you last week, the EU as well as Washington, who, by the way, wants revenge due to Bibi's vocal unacceptance of the Iran deal, has sternly warned Israel that it will be held solely responsible if the peace talks fail, and they better not even think about starting any new construction in the areas of Judea and Samaria, commonly known as the West Bank. Obama could care less that this peace deal will make the remaining land for Israel only 10 miles wide to the Mediterranean Sea. If not for God, this would be suicide. And I am so glad that we know the rest of the story. It's obvious that Bibi has now lost all confidence in the United States. Remember in 2012 when Israel was asked by Obama not to attack Iran before our elections, and Bibi obliged after Obama's promise to take care of Iran in 2013? Well, we now know, and so does the world, that Washington was already in the midst of secret talks with Iran, which ultimately led to that interim agreement announced last month, which effectively insulates the Iranian nuclear program from any future Israeli attack, in my opinion. Iran has 6 months to show us they are serious about not acquiring nuclear warheads. Oh, and as well, the added incentive of $7 billion in sanctions relief. So far, we have not seen even one out of 19,000 centrifuges dismantled, while enrichment still continues. At the current rate, Iran could have nuclear-tipped missiles ready to hit America in 1 year, and in only a few months could hit Tel Aviv. But Iran won't need to target Israel because the Kerry deal will make it easy to push Israel into the sea just by using Hamas, Hezbollah, and the PLO. But Obama wants to sing victory and boast of his peace deal, saying, "Look at me, how wonderful I am," as the world cries, "Peace, peace," but there is no peace. Israel learned another lesson over the Syrian issue when Obama assured them that Assad would be removed and told the rebels that we coerced, that we would help them with arms and needed supplies, and for sure send in our own military if chemical weapons were used, which would be that famous red line. Well, that red line turned white real quick, and we did nothing. And the Syrian rebels, who were also fighting Al-Qaeda, were willing to sacrifice their lives. And now it's the talk of the world that Washington has reached out a hand of friendship to our enemies while leaving our friends to wonder what lays in store. But has learned a great lesson, and that is, when Obama says the United States has your back, don't listen. He has been known to lie. Just ask the Americans. Yes, the Bible says there is coming a day when world peace will be declared. However, the word also says it will be very short-lived. In fact, soon after, all hell will break loose. But thanks be to God, not for those who have a personal relationship with Christ our Savior. And finally, for the last few years, there has been a push by Obama and others to rid all the Middle East of nuclear arms, to, of course, include Israel. Netanyahu has recently flown to meet the Russian leader and personally asked Putin to withhold support for the convening of a nuclear nonproliferation conference, knowing its chief aim would be focused on dismantling Israel's nuclear capability, which will harm the country's vital national interests, as it is a major deterrent. Putin surprised Bibi when he said that Russia will slow all efforts to convene any conference of this kind. And he made it clear that Russia will not do anything to harm Israel. Wow. He added that despite the alliance between Israel and the United States, Russia stands with Israel. Now, those are telling words. Looks to me like he wants to replace Obama as their ally, which is probably why Putin will be paying a state visit to Egypt's military as well to take advantage of the frayed ties between Washington and Egypt's new government and just maybe gain access to some Mediterranean ports. Well, every week's a new week, so that's the news for tonight. And once again, much thanks to the supporters of this program. And remember, this Friday is the first Friday of January, so why not join us at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland? And now stay tuned for the second part of the Holy Three-in-One as the Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe. And good evening to you. You are listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, and on the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host, with our always jubilant Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. I always like to remind our listeners about our website, shofarministries.net. Should you want to re-listen to this program or any of the other programs, which are all archived there for your learning pleasure and also for your sharing with your friends. And before we begin tonight's program, a pickup of last week, we want to invite the Lord to be with us. Abba, we thank you and we praise you for your Son, Yeshua, Messiah, our salvation, and for this radio ministry to your bride, this end times ministry. It's so important. And you keep us up. Thank you for the many people that have supported and helped our ministry. And we lift up all those that have called us and written us with their prayer requests this week. Please comfort those souls and answer them in your mercy. We lift up especially Joycelyn Masick to you. She's your saint and a laborer in this ministry for 20 years. Please be with her during this time of her health crisis and heal her. Just show her your love, Lord. Wrap your arms around her. Guide the hands and the heads of those that are caring for her. We also lift up to you those called by your name throughout the world who are undergoing torture for their faith in you. Like my partner said, make their suffering short, but make them also be a bright testimony to those around them. May they see you in their sufferings. May they see the Lord Jesus. May they repent and turn from their wickedness. And we also want to lift up all the wayward children in all our families. And, you know, just because we're believers, a lot of times our children don't get it, don't want it, or they're just stuck in a rut. And we just ask you, Lord, that you turn their hearts back to you and take them back into your fold and be their shepherd. And we pray this in the name of Yeshua, our Savior, our Deliverer, our peace, our Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen. Thank you once again, John, for that lovely prayer, and I love your descriptive adjective for me. And yes, I am jubilant, because with more evil, as these days are becoming, we, the Bride of Christ, can indeed rejoice to be living in such a time as this. For we really do see that day approaching, just like Hebrews 9:28 says we will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says there will come a day when we will see the day approaching.
That's
and
right.
I'm seeing it.
I'm seeing it, too.
So jump up, saints, and sing hallelujah, for our rescue is soon upon us. Amen?
Amen. Well, Sheila, if anyone can get us energized, it's you.
Oh, thank you.
That's why you get the big bucks, right?
Oh, yeah.
And a reminder, the phone lines are open. If you have an end time question, please make sure that it is a question about the end times or your Hebraic roots or our tonight's subject, which is...
I don't know, John. What is it?
I believe we're talking about
the Trinity,
right? Okay. So, and if if you're kind of shy, you can always email Sheila this week, and we'll address your question for next week. And if you want to do that, the email address is sheila@shofarministries.net. So, we know what our agenda is for tonight's program, and I think we covered it really well last week, but we did leave something.
We didn't finish all the scriptures, and I really wanted those that don't have a computer to be able to at least jot them down, because there's some really good scriptures that really do prove the Trinity.
There is, and you might want to get your paper and your pencils out right now at this point. And speaking of points, you had some very good points that we didn't cover that you wanted to make.
Yes.
And as well as scriptures, you had some very good points.
So,
can we do a little review?
Okay. Do you want to?
Yes, I do.
All right, let me think. As I said last week, and actually it's been throughout church history, but I guess more in these last days, just who is Jesus?
Good question.
Is he actually God or God's creation?
Mm-hmm.
So if you missed last week's program, definitely go to our archives and listen as soon as you can, especially if you still have any doubts or if you're not sure how to answer somebody that says Jesus is not God. These last week and this week should give you all the ammunition that you need to prove your point.
There you go.
So, again, any other religion says that Jesus is not God. They're all that way. We, born-again Christians, or real Christian, believe that Jesus is God. Catholics believe Jesus is God as well.
So they're real Christians.
That's right. If they haven't been in their heart.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the major important tenet of our real Christian fundamental faith.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24 of major deception, this is the deception. This is the major lie that Paul talks about in, 2 Thessalonians 2, 11. He even talks about they will believe the lie. But before that, let's redefine the definition of a liar.
Yeah, we've done this many times before. The definition of a liar, you can find that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son.
Right. So when you see in the Bible where it says all liars go to hell, then you have to define who a liar is.
Exactly.
And this is the definition.
So those people that say, well, I was only going 45.
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't mean
sins
they're
are
going
covered,
there.
But liars are those that deny that Jesus is the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, as being one and the same, as confirmed in the, I guess, the very next verse, isn't it, in 23?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either.
Right.
And he who acknowledges the Son has the Father also.
Pretty
plain. No, that's just a blessing to me, that verse there.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's very clear in the scriptures, and we read last week, that Christ is God and lives in every believer, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we'll read again some of those and go over a few of them, yes.
Yeah.
But my favorite, which is where we actually left off last week, is the scriptures that talk about what I just said, the indwelling presence of all three.
Yes, we have
Father,
the fullness
yes.
of God dwelling in us. Not just Jesus living in our hearts.
I know.
Not just the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We actually have the Father.
Yeah.
We have the entire...
Well, if there's a Trinity, we would have to have all three.
We would have to have three, exactly.
Yeah. And it says very clearly that, in Ephesians 4:6, and I'm going to read that because it's again, says what it means. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Talking to the Christians.
Talking to the Christians in the South.
Yes. Yes.
And in you all.
And then the Son, Colossians 1:27, it says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the church.
Okay, there's two.
And the Holy Spirit, I think you should read that one. That's 1 Corinthians 6:19.
Okay. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?
There you go. Even if you just remember those three verses to quote to someone.
That's right. So good. We have all the fullness of God dwelling in us.
We absolutely, and it's like unbelievable. It's like awesome. So that's what makes me jubilant.
I know. Should it make you be able to walk on water, though, too, or no?
Well, if he wants me to, I will. If it is his will. Anyway, back to that why. I want to talk about that again.
Yeah.
That we just defined. We see where Paul says that unbelievers will believe that lie, especially during the tribulation, and that's what damns them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's an interesting point. The only thing that saves us is the fact that we recognize and believe in who Jesus is.
Right, right. Oh.
So naturally, Satan will do everything he can to get one to think the opposite, as he has done in all other religions, especially even promoting good deeds. You know, so others will look upon these false religions and these people and think, look how good they are, and they help so many people. Surely they must be right in what they say.
And that's a deception. They may be right in what they do, but in what they say, that's where the deception is. Because, you know, we said this last week, the definition of a cult is any religion who denies that Jesus is the Lord God.
That's right. And as far as good works goes, Isaiah says good works are as filthy rags. Without Christ, they mean nothing.
Mm.
You'll never get up there to get the rewards for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I know.
Don't judge salvation on good works, and everybody does. Anyone that's not saved does.
And we are, and of course, we exhort you to do as many good works as you can.
After you're saved, yes.
After you're saved, and do them because, yeah. And not necessarily, you can do them anonymously because your Father, which is in heaven, will see you, Jesus said, doing something anonymously, and he'll reward you openly for it.
Very good point. Glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody.
Yes.
Same thing with fasting. Are you going to fast all day? You don't tell anybody you're fasting.
Right.
Nobody.
Nobody.
That's hard to do. That is very hard to do, not to tell somebody.
Especially if you want a cookie or something. Yeah.
Yeah, really. So, okay. But anyway, yes, a cult is any religion who denies that Jesus is Jehovah God. And always has been God, by the way, and always will be God.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the 33 and a half years, he chose not to exercise his full deity, but instead humbled himself, came to earth as a servant. Wow. A sinless man to die for our sins by being the ultimate perfect sacrifice. And he's the only one that could have done that.
Absolutely.
Because everybody's full of sin, and it's only the animals that are sinless.
That's true. That's true.
You know? So, but we also showed last week how God called himself the I Am.
Mm-hmm.
And so did Jesus, didn't he, John?
Yes, he did. He said in John 10:30, I and my Father are one. And that's why they wanted to kill him, really. And that was for blasphemy.
That's right. Also in 2 John 9, it says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God.
Mm-hmm.
He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son.
And again, in John 10:30.
As you already said.
I and my Father are one.
That's a great scripture. Now, that's an easy one to memorize.
It is.
What do you think?
Well, that's the entire scripture, yes. I think there's more to it, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, it goes on in verse 38. Would you read that?
Sure. Believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I mean, you don't need any more. It's right there, plain. Jesus declared himself as one with the Father.
Yes.
He is God.
Mm-hmm.
So if they tell you, which
well,
have
many
said,
people you say do say that. They say, well, Jesus never said he was God. Well, yes, he did, pretty much.
And in fact, they would tell me that before I was really well versed in the Bible. Show me where it says that. Well, of course I can't show it because I didn't know.
Yeah, and when the
that's what they do.
The Torah teachers were arguing with him, and he said, before Abraham was, I am.
That's right.
And that's a very good statement of deity right there.
And he also said, first of all, God said that he was the first and the last in Isaiah 44:6.
And so did Jesus in Revelation 1:18.
That's right.
He says, I am the first and I am the last. Right. So what more do you need, really?
I know. last week we also looked at the scriptures that false teachers use by misinterpreting them due to not understanding their Hebraic roots. And we went over that. We're not going to get into that tonight because it'll take up too much time. But I encourage you again to go to the archives last week and listen to the program.
At shofarministries.net.
That's it.
And podcast.
We also saw how the Jehovah's Witnesses added to the scriptures, which is an abomination in John 1:1.
Mm-hmm.
They added an A.
Well, their translator did their Bible. They use a special Bible.
Yeah.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and they put
A there. So, and also we saw how the Mormons say that Jesus was Lucifer's brother. Neither are Christian, although they'll tell you that they are.
Hmm.
It's a lie. By their own definition, they are, but they are not Christian.
No, they are not.
So.
And they definitely carry a heavy burden, at least the Jehovah's Witnesses do, that they have to work to get to heaven.
Oh, yeah, they have to get so many door knockings in, too.
Yeah, it's a very very burdensome thing, but they can be free from all that.
I know.
Just by knowing who Jesus really is.
Right.
So we also saw that the Holy Spirit is God as well. Okay, now I got it that Jesus is God. Right? You know,
right.
I have struggled with the Trinity a lot, but this is making it very clear. What about the Holy Spirit? Can we prove that through Scripture?
Okay, so you know he's God, but you want to prove it.
Yeah, we want to prove it, yeah.
Well, we did do that last week, but this is probably one of the best scriptures proving that the Holy Spirit is God, and that was in Acts 5:3-4, and I think maybe you should read that.
Yeah, reread this. This is a good one, yeah. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.
Amen.
Pretty much says that, doesn't it?
It pretty much says it.
Mm-hmm.
Since 1 Timothy 2:5 says there is one God, so there's only one conclusion. You have to connect the dots. There must be three and one. And what's interesting is that word for one is the Greek word eis, number 1520, E-I-S.
Mm-hmm.
And it means one as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
As like we are, as the bride of Christ is one bride.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that would be the word eis, E-I-S.
Or
husband and wife become one.
Mm-hmm. In Genesis, you read that?
That's right. It's ikad in Hebrew and eyes in Greek, in the Septuagint.
And it doesn't say, by the way, in Genesis 2, that they become as one. It says that they become one.
One.
Echad. Yeah. The word is there, echad.
Yeah, it sure does.
So, we've got the egg and the shamrock, for examples. We used that before. Also in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 6:4, in the Shema. Hear, O Israel, Adonai our God, Adonai is one. And that's Elohim, which is plural in a sense. And then Lord, which is Yahweh, is Echad. And that means one, but can also mean a unity.
Right.
And what I like to say is a uniqueness, a unique.
Yes.
We serve a unique God. And I don't know if I should tell you this, but in Genesis chapter 1, when it talks about the creation, we have that unique word for the first day of creation. It doesn't say first in Hebrew. It says Echad.
Hmm.
It's a very unique day that will never be a day like that again, and there was never a day before it. It's a very unique word.
Yep. And the same thing with the First Timothy, the word EIS is in Greek, ikad, in this one as well.
In this passage, yes.
Yeah. So they're all matching is what I guess I'm trying to show.
Yes, it's all, and it's a, exactly.
So despite the clear biblical evidence for the Trinity, all cults deny his deity and again are based on the misunderstandings of Scripture. So, what is our job?
Our job is to inform them of the truth.
I know. And yet, what do?
Well,
we close our doors when we see them walk down the road.
And we hide behind the couch.
Sometimes.
We should let them in. I've let them in the past and had conversations. The first thing I've noticed, especially with Jehovah's Witnesses, they really do know their stuff.
Oh, yeah. They've been trained for that particular.
They know that the Bible has 66 books, and they'll start rattling off this information, you know, yeah. 40 authors over 1,600 years, and they'll, you know.
But they always go around. They don't hone in on what is salvation. They'll talk about the kings. They'll talk about Garden of Eden and blah, 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 blah. And then I finally say, well, wait a minute, who is Jesus? This is what's important here.
That is the question.
Not, you know, the kings and the judges and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They want to show that they're knowledgeable by doing that because they know that a lot of times we don't have all that memorized.
Well, a lot of Christians don't have the knowledge that they have.
I know.
They have more knowledge. But the other thing, they don't.
In certain areas, not in the whole Bible.
Not in the whole Bible. Okay. But the thing is, they don't know who Jesus is. Oh,
right.
That's critical.
They think he was created.
I know. They think he was a creation.
That's
ooh.
Right.
Not good.
Okay, let's take a quick break and
play
one of our favorite songs.
Shall we have one from the Singing Nun?
I think that'd be a great idea.
I don't know if she's the Singing Nun, but she definitely got a big hit with this song.
That's right. What was her name? Sister Janet Mead, I believe.
Sister Janet Mead. And she does the Lord's Prayer.
Kind of a nice, quick rendition of the Lord's Prayer. A little bouncy like I like.
Yeah. Well, it got that 70s bounce to it.
Kissing her.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was Sister Janet Mead from way back in the 70s. Man, was that a hot song, though. And
it was nice.
The lyrics are great right out of the Bible, huh?
That's right. Can't be better than that.
I guess she was not the singing nun. The, capital T, singing nun. But she did a good job. Hey, you have a question for Sheila? Would you like her to speak at your church group or your church or your group? There, I got them all covered there. Well, all you have to do is email her, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net, or just call the office. Phone number is 440-834-9006. And please be sure you leave a detailed message.
Yes.
And don't confuse that number with the phone number for us here on the station.
Which we'll give later.
Yes.
And your donations are, of course, very vital to keeping this program on the air and are still tax deductible. So if you like this program and if you are being blessed and learning from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor.
That's right. Also, if you would like advertising for your company on this program, we can do that as well. So please send your love offering to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513 in Burton, 44021. Or on our web homepage, there is a Partner With Us button on the left side. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email or house address. And you can also pledge tonight by calling 888-677-WORD and give Derek, our producer, your information. All newsletters and previous radio shows are archived on the ShofarMinistries.net website, and recorded teachings are there as well. And again, that phone number for your comments or questions relating to tonight's topic, remember,
is
end times, 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9677. And coming up.
Remember, first Friday of every month, Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio.
Route 306.
That's right.
And we begin right at 7, and we have Messianic worship. We will teach you
and
how to
do the blowing of the shofar.
Yes. The shofar wrote, now that I've added mine. Too.
Yes, but it really doesn't sound good, John.
Oh, my gosh. It sounds way better. I have people tell me that mine sounds so much better than yours.
It's not true.
They do.
They're pulling your leg.
No, they're being very honest.
All right, everyone, come out and hear it. That'll give you incentive to come on out.
Yeah, we'll have a vote on who blows the shofar the best.
So. That's right. All right, last week we went over, I'd say about 8 or 9,
I thought.
Times 3, so 24 scriptures.
Hmm.
Talking about the Trinity.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll just tell them what we talked about, and then they can listen to it on last week's program. But we talked about the Trinity being involved in the creation of the universe, the Trinity involved in the creation of man, the Trinity involved in the incarnation, which we should be talking about soon because Hanukkah's coming up soon.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Trinity of God involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Even Jesus was involved in his own resurrection. How about that? We gave scriptures. Also, the Trinity involved in the resurrection of all mankind, and the Trinity involved in the inspiration of Scripture. Also, the Trinity involved in the minister's authority. Our ministers, all their authority comes from the Trinity. And the indwelling presence, which we already did reread in the beginning of this program, about the indwelling presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living inside of all born-again believers. Wow.
Amen. The fullness of God. So that is 24 scriptures.
I know. I can multiply. Anyway.
You're supposed to. The Bible says multiply and fill the earth.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. The next one that's on the paper here is the work of sanctification.
So we have the Trinity here seen in the work of sanctification.
That's right. I'm going to read the first one. I'll let you read the second.
Okay.
The Father is involved according to Jude 1:1. So if you're writing down, just write down the scripture, and then you can go in your Bible and underline it at another time. But just write down the That is Jude 1:1. Jude, a bond servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. So there we have sanctified by God the Father. Now you read the one for the Son.
Okay, the Son is Hebrews 2:11. For both he...
Talking about Jesus in context.
Mm-hmm, who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified. So for both he, Jesus, who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified.
I think that's an interesting scripture too, because it does say that people are being sanctified. It doesn't happen the minute you're justified.
Right.
That's process there.
It is a process.
The Holy Spirit is 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Hmm.
Then we go on to the believer's safekeeping, and the Trinity is involved in our safekeeping as Christians. How about that?
That's cool to know.
The Father is in John 10:29-30. Jesus said, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And, of course, we read that once already, but just shows you that there's a Father's hand, and there's also the Son's hand, if
the
you want to read
hand,
that.
That would be John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28.
Mm-hmm.
"My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand."
There you go.
Well, there's the Son.
And the Holy Spirit is Ephesians 4:30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So, the next topic would be eternal existence.
Mm. Okay.
And the Father is in Psalm 90:2. "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God forever."
How about the Son?
You can read the Son.
Mm-hmm.
Micah.
Micah chapter 5:2. "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting."
Eternal. Also, there's one in John 1:2.
"In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God."
Might as well read the other one, Revelation 1:8.
"I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty."
Okay, so we see the eternal existence forever from eternity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is Hebrews 9:14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" So we have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
The next one is infinite.
Because of the internal Spirit.
Eternal, forever.
Mm-hmm.
The next one's infinite power.
Mm-hmm.
The Father is in 1 Peter 1:5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." The Son, John, is 2 Corinthians 12:9.
Okay, I think I was going to read it.
I have that too. Why don't I just read it?
Yeah, why don't you read it? Yeah.
"For I will not dare speak of anything except what the Messiah has accomplished through me, to bring the Gentiles to obedience by my words and deeds through the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit of God." That's pretty powerful.
That is pretty powerful.
And the last one is the Holy Spirit in Romans 15, 18, and 19.
And I believe I've got that one.
Okay.
For I will not dare speak of anything except what the Messiah has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by my words and deeds. Through the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit of God.
I think that's what I just sort of read, wasn't it?
Oh, that was...
I should have read 2 Corinthians 12:9.
Yeah, I read Romans.
Okay, for the Son, it says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Sorry.
Oh, you read
the wrong
my,
one there.
That's all right. You read mine, but they got to hear it twice.
That's right.
What does it mean, infirmities there, you said?
Well, actually, it is an ailment. Paul did have an eye ailment,
mm-hmm.
and it did keep him humble. It really did.
Interesting.
So, yes, and he would rather boast in having that because it kept him humble, and that made the power of Christ rest upon him.
Wow.
So, see, you should boast in your infirmities. You know? Keeps you humble.
I do have a few. No, I do have one glaring one.
That's all right. We don't need to know. Okay. Omniscience.
What does that mean?
Well, that means all-knowing. He knows everything.
Wow. He knows what that word means.
Yeah. The Father is in Jeremiah 17, 10. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings.
Mm-hmm.
It's without a doubt, he does test us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have some other scriptures that maybe we'll come back to and read, but let me just tell the people in case they want to look them up,
mm-hmm.
Where it says that he tests us. Zechariah 13:9, Jeremiah 9:7. Jeremiah 6:27. 1 Peter 4:12 is really good. And Revelation 3:10. In fact, I think I want to read 1 Peter 4:12. It says, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to test you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So there you go.
Hmm.
And that so many people think, why am I this? Why am I that? And then you listen to some of these so-called evangelists on TV that make you think that if you have an ailment, you don't have enough faith. And that's just very condemning.
That is condemning.
Awful.
Yeah, there's a lot of condemning in that.
So let's continue.
We're not supposed to condemn one another. Okay,
nope.
Now, omniscience and the Holy Spirit.
We didn't do the Son yet.
We didn't do the Son. Okay, the Son. Revelation 2:23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you according to your work.
Right, you know, that's interesting because he's talking to one of the churches there, and it might be Thyatira, but I'm not positive. But it's interesting that those that aren't saved, he will give according to their works, because at the Great White Throne Judgment, that's what it's all about.
Mm.
Because these people are already condemned, but he raises them to be judged according
to
their works.
Mm.
They're not saved, so then he gives them exactly what they've always wanted, to be judged according to them being a good person. Nobody can ever be good enough. That's like saying you're sinless, practically.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So, how about, do you have any other verses to go along with the Son on that one? I was thinking of one in particular, one of the Gospels that said that he knew what was in the heart of men.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I can't remember where it is.
Yeah, well.
Maybe a caller will say, I remember a caller and say.
There you go, call us.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is in 1 Corinthians 2:11 and 12.
Hmm.
For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So anything that we know, it's like a gift, but it's from God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, let's go to omnipresence.
Oh, there's another big word, and what that means is?
He's everywhere.
Everywhere, all the time.
That's right.
No matter where you go.
Go ahead.
Okay. We'll start with the Father, and this would be Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. And this is just one. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?
That's really a good scripture, too, because so many people think that when they're in the dark and they do things that nobody sees them, but God always sees.
He's there.
That's right. So then we have the Son in Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in there. I am there in the midst of them. And that's just saying that he's always there.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one, in fact, all of them that we have, is the Holy Spirit in Psalm 139:7.
Okay, Psalm 139:7. David writes, I believe, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? The answer is, since that's a rhetorical question, nowhere.
That's right.
Because he's everywhere. That's what omnipresence means.
Amen.
So we see the Trinity in all these.
We do.
All these verses.
That's right. Well, no one can say there's no Trinity.
Yeah, that's true. And no one can say that Jesus is not God. There's no way that he cannot be God. And if he weren't God, then what is our salvation?
That's it.
I mean, really, what is our salvation? God came down and lived among us and died as one of us so that he could relate to us. So we have no excuse. We can't say, well, God, you never went through this. You don't know what it's like to be a man. Oh, yes, I do, he says. I've been a man.
That's right.
And I died in your place. I took your punishment. Cool.
Well, I also wanted to, we only have a few minutes left, but I did want to talk a little bit about that incarnation since Hanukkah is coming. And you know what, John? It actually starts on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, someone had a word for it on the email that was called Thank-a-Hanukkah or something like that.
I know. I know. I remember. I'm not going to try to say it, but yes. Yeah, and that's a good program. The incarnation we discussed on the programs prior to the Trinity programs we just had. We discussed his birth.
That's right.
That came in the fall feast, and of course that's where we were with the before this program. So,
and I was kind of waiting for Hanukkah to actually explain that when you count back 280 days from the first day of Tabernacles.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out to exactly the eighth day of Hanukkah when he was incarnated, I believe with all my heart, into Mary. And his number is eight. And you know why it's eight?
No, why? You're going to tell me, though.
Because it's never ending. Look at the number. It's
yeah, the number eight is represents infinity.
Yes, infinity.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Which is another way of describing eternity.
Yeah, a lot of times people have said it was number seven, but actually it's eight, but we're a six, as you know, and someday we will be a seven, but we'll never be an eight. He'll always be an eight. And someone even said that God the Father was actually a nine. So, I don't know.
Okay, well, that's gematria, and we're not going to do that right now.
No, we don't want to do that. I get too involved in that.
Yeah, we don't want to get to there. But if you're enjoying our program tonight, and please give us a call, let us know, and call the office, like we said, if you would like Sheila to speak at your church or group. She's a great speaker. I've been out there with her, and if possible, I go with her and actually do music.
Yes, you do, and you do it, and you do very well.
Thank you very much. And we try to keep it, we try to keep the music biblical. It's not showbiz stuff by any means, but it's fun. And more we're doing the Psalms. And we're doing I'm learning more Psalms in the original Hebrew.
And just singing in Hebrew is such a blessing. Oh, if you've never been able to, folks, he teaches you as we go, and it's just really worshipful.
Oh, and to know the thought, you know, to know a verse in Scripture is great. To know one in the original language is even better.
And then
to be able to sing it, you'll know you'll never forget it.
It's too bad we're not rich and you could do a whole album of Hebrew songs.
Oh, we are rich. I just have my money stored up there.
That's right. We're storing our treasures in heaven.
We're storing our treasures in heaven.
Okay.
There's a substantial penalty if we try to withdraw it early.
Well, so, we have to close.
We have to close, but before we do, probably the most important thing we say on this program tonight is, we ask you, is Jesus Lord over your whole life? Do you really know him? Or do you just have a head knowledge of him and not the real heart condition, heart conviction? If that's the case, we suggest that right now, even as we speak, that you get on your knees. And there's something about getting on your knees.
Yes, there is.
And
humbling.
Humbling. And you're on your knees, and all you have to do is repent of those individual sins that are keeping you in bondage. He knows what they are. You know what they are. And they are weighing you down. And if you just admit to him that you are sinning, and then commit or recommit to your life to Yeshua. He's your Savior. He's your God. He's your Redeemer. Remember, it's always your choice where you spend eternity. We're praying right now that God just floods your soul with forgiveness and the reality of his presence in the Holy Spirit. So you decide for yourself where your soul goes, and that where it has to spend eternity.
And then fulfill the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go and tell others that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his own. For judgment is very near, people. Now, John, could you say the Aaronic blessing from number 622 in his perfect language?
Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav v'lecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav v'lecha v'yisem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Remember the first Friday of every month. Till then, Sha'alu, Shalom, Yerushalayim.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper. Not maybe.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the Internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.